that day, knowing there will be no tears, no grief, and no sorrow. All because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your word this morning. Oh Lord, it's such a refreshing thing to sing about your return, to think about being in your presence, to praise you with our songs, and to recognize that all of this is from your love for us, from your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. I ask, Lord, this morning that our hearts would be sensitive to your word, that we would be attentive to it, and that, Father, you might be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians, and after the greeting, we talked about that a little while ago, about the greeting, we're called saints and faithful and in Christ Jesus. And last week, we began to talk about this very long sentence, because after he gives the formal greeting, the Apostle Paul gives us a very long sentence, 202 words in the Greek. It is, from verses 3 through 14, is all one sentence, and it's as though the Apostle Paul cannot contain himself. He just doesn't stop talking. He begins to think about what the Lord has given him, and he can't stop. And so he begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In heavenly places talks about the origin. So Paul begins by saying, blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then he begins to talk about those blessings. And if you remember last week, we talked about the idea of being chosen by God, the first blessing that we have. This blessing here, you understand, when we talked about it a little last week, when we said that all of our lives, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, all of our lives have been orchestrated so that we might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has chosen us before the world even began. He knew who my parents were going to be. He knew who my parents' parents were going to be. He knew who my parents' parents' parents were going to be. And you get the idea. It is God had me in mind, and he had you in mind before the very foundation of the world. So God controlled every event in my life and brought me to him, as he did with you as well. And he did it for a purpose, to be holy and blameless. And now, this morning, we're going to move on to the second blessing. The first one was being chosen. And the second blessing, and we're going to spend some time on these things, because so often, when we read the book of Ephesians, we begin to read, and we read through this stuff so quickly. But the second blessing is that of being adopted. Now, I was thinking about this throughout the week, this whole idea of adoption. And I thought, well, how can I relate to what it is in relationship to our salvation? You know, when we talk about being chosen, we talk about being justified, we talk about the fact that we put our trust in Christ, and now we are saved from our sins. And last week I said, we've been chosen, we've been saved from our sins, what could be better? And what can be better is the idea of adoption. Let me illustrate it for you this way. This is what adoption is like when it comes to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I like hugs. Not very many people don't like hugs. You know, when you hug someone, you're showing that you love them, you're showing that you accept them, you're showing them that you're part of the family, you know, you're just saying, oh, it's so good to see you, and you give them a hug. That's what adoption is. You see, not only did God save us, but he accepted us. He received us. He comforts us. He wants us to know that we have this new relationship with him, because now he is our Father. It is like having a giant hug given to us by God and saying, not only have I saved you, but you are mine. You're my child now. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, this idea of being hugged by God. And I'm just going to go through some details and make some application. And the first detail that we have is, why did God do this? Why did he do it? Did he do it because we're just good guys? Or we're good people? No. In fact, 1 John 3:1 tells us very clearly, why did God adopt us? Why did God choose us? It says this in 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. And even as we look at this passage, it says, in love, predestined to adopt us.
So the idea is that we are adopted by God. He has embraced us. He has hugged us. He has brought us to himself in this new relationship. And the reason he's done it is because he loves us. And I don't understand why. And we don't understand why, but he does. And we sense it all the time. We sense it when we sing together hymns as a church family. We sense it as we pray to God when he hears our prayers. We sense the love of God and we are thankful. But he goes on and he says this, in love he predestined us. Now, a lot of people get worried about that word. What does that mean? What is the idea here? It simply is an action of God. This is used six times. And the meaning is simply this, that he determined beforehand. God had in his mind beforehand he was going to adopt us. The implication is before the foundation of the world. This is when God decided, you're going to be mine. You're going to be one of my children. He decided it beforehand. In fact, he uses it a number of times in Scripture. In Acts 4:48, the people are praying and praising God, and they're talking about Christ coming into the world, and he says, you predestined the things to take place, talking about the crucifixion. We sometimes get so caught up in our lives, we forget about that God is predestined. He has worked these things out. Listen to Romans 8:29 through 30. Listen to what he says here, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Then listen to Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The meaning is clear. God has discerned beforehand. And the implication is, it's before the world, and it's according to God's word. So we begin to think about this, even the idea of adoption. He says he predestinated us to be adopted into his family. This brings great comfort because it tells me that God has a plan for each of us. God is predestined. You're going to be my child. And because you are my child, it's going to come with all the wonderful blessings and benefits of being adopted. You are going to be my child. And he says, this is what I have planned for you. And remember, in the process, he has planned the fact that we are saved. He brought us to that point of being chosen. And now being adopted, you're destined to be adopted as children. He says, I'm going to take care of you and continue to take care of you as my child. And if you're here this morning, know this and recognize that the Lord has brought you here. The Lord has adopted you as his child. If you know the Lord Jesus, you're there. And when we talk about this idea, and we say God predestined us, and he has a plan for each of our lives because he's predestined us to be adopted. He's going to conform us to the image of his Son. One of the things I like to tell people is don't get hung up. A lot of times, we think of this idea. We'll say, everyone will agree, God has a plan for my life. We'll say, God has a plan for my life. This is great, right? And it is. It's wonderful. And then what happens is, well, if I take this job, is that God's plan for my life? Or if I marry this person, is that God's plan for my life? Or if I do this, is that God's plan for my life? Because I certainly don't want to miss God's plan. Don't get hung up on those things. God's plan is very clear for us. Be faithful and obedient. And it'll come. It'll come. But here in this text, specifically, God predestined us to become children of God. God has worked this out, and he's worked out all of the detail. And so, he says, predestinated us to be adopted. Adoption occurs when we put our faith and trust in the Lord. The moment we are saved, the moment we give our lives to Christ, we are adopted. And it involves a change in our status. It involves a change in our condition. You know, when you understand the word adopted, we are not natural children. In fact, if you were to go to Ephesians chapter 2, it would tell us that we're not natural children, but rather we're enemies of God, that we're children of wrath, that we do not love God. And all of this has taken place. God has saved us, and he's brought us, and he's adopted us, and now we have gone from being children of wrath to children of God. It's more than just being saved. And the point is that adoption is an act of God whereby he makes us members of his family. And when does it occur? Let me read to you the passage. John 1, verse 11 to 12. And you understand what the context here. In John chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is giving us an induction, or not the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John is giving us an induction to the Gospel of John that says this. He came unto his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so it means number of things when we talk about adoption. Think about this for a moment. Here we are, sinners. God chooses us. He saves us. He adopts us, and he begins to wrap his arms around us. And there are great implications. And that's what I want to talk about. Because you might say, okay, Al, I'm adopted. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God now. Now what? Here it tells us. And the first one is this. It is a new relationship. It is a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a new relationship with God our Father. We have been now brought into his family. And we now have the ability to speak to God and relate to him as Father. You understand the big difference. Prior to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you had nothing. You cannot communicate to God because there was this barrier of sin. There's no relationship you have with God. But once you trust in him and become his child, now you go to him as a child. And he comes to you as a father. And here's this new relationship that takes place. Do you remember a while ago when we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount and then the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we normally call the Lord's Prayer? Do you remember how it started? Our Father. That is new for us. That is something that we have that we can always go to. It is something that God has given to us as his children, and we can now approach him as our Father. It wasn't always that way. Listen to what Romans says. In Romans 8, 15 and 16, he said, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." He's talking there about the idea that once before we knew the Lord, we were fearful of death, we were fearful of facing God, we were fearful of what was going to happen after we died. He says, you haven't received that spirit, but now that you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry unto him, Abba, Father. All of a sudden, this relationship has changed. Father is the primary way in which we relate to God. It wasn't that way before, but now it is. And we relate to him as our Father. We go to prayer and say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We go to prayer sometimes and say, dear Lord, or our Father in heaven. We do all this, you see, because God, even though he's our creator, and he is our judge, and he is our king, and he is our teacher, and he's protector, and he's our provider, but above all else in how we relate to him is this. Our Father, and all that comes with it. Think about it for a moment. The love and the compassion and the understanding and the intimacy. As our Father, he understands us. In fact, he understands us better than we understand ourselves. He understands us better than our spouses. He understands us better than our other brothers and sisters in Christ. He understands us more intimately and more thoroughly than we could possibly imagine. And so when we go to pray to him and we're praying in a selfish manner, he may reveal that, but he understands. My child, you're praying selfishly, and he'll teach us that. Or if we go to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. He says, I'll take care of you. I'll watch over you. All of this because we can now relate to him as our Father. We have been adopted. You see, that's the doctrine. It changes everything. It changes our relationship with him. Remember what I said to you earlier. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God, and so we are. Or how about Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14? As a father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. See, this relationship is completely different. And the sad part about all of this is, do we recognize that? Do we stop and think about the new relationship that I have with God? You know, sometimes people say, I just can't pray. Yes, you can. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. You see, God is our Father. He works in our heart. He understands the hardness and the coldness of our heart. He understands our very makeup, our very being. As a Father, he understands us better than anyone else. And how nice is that? I mean, you get in a difficult time or you run into trouble or something like that, you don't want to go to someone that you can't get along with. You don't want to go to someone who doesn't understand what you're like. You want to go to someone who understands you completely, who's going to listen, who's going to help you, who's going to care for you, who's going to do all of these things. That's who you go to. You know who that is? It's the Lord. That's our Father. As a father, not only does he understand, but as a father, he cares Matthew 6:31-32. Listen to what it says. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, for what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them all. Do you see this? He says, don't get caught up in worrying about this and worrying about that, because you have been adopted. Because you have God as your Father. Because God has loved you so much, He has grabbed a hold of you and has thrown His arms around you, and now you are His child. That is the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. I don't care who rejects me. I don't care who likes me. I don't care what my status is in the world. My Father is God. He's got me. You understand? That's what we need to focus on. We don't do that. We get worried about how we appear before others. We get worried about this. We get worried about that. No. Be anxious for nothing. For your Father in heaven knows you have need of them. Our Father understands. Our Father loves us. Our Father cares for us. He is our Father, and we are His children, and we have been adopted. That's one of the meanings of this idea. The implication is we have been adopted, and we are in a new relationship with God the Father. Well, the next one, and I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. In fact, we even sang about this morning a little bit when we talked about all creation going. But Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Not only because He's our Father, we have a new relationship, but we have a new hope because He is our Father. Let me begin reading in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. And again, very applicable here. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now look at verse 22. For we know that whole creation has been groaning together with pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. Now, he said, wait a minute now. You just told us we're adopted, and now it's telling us here to wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. What's going on? But here's the wonderful fact about it. It's not done. It's not done. He said, we have here the first fruits. And by the first fruits, he's talking about this. When they would make a harvest, or when they would plant their seeds and they would wait for the harvest, and as soon as the first fruits came up, they would go out and harvest the first part of the crops, and they would take it and offer it to God. And when they would offer it to God, they did so with anticipation and knowing that the best is yet to come. And that's what he's saying here as believers. Because we have been adopted by God, we are being adopted, and we're being hugged, and we're being embraced, and we're being cared for, and we have this new relationship with Him. But the best is yet to come. This is only the first fruits. I remember sitting at a gathering with a bunch of believers with a guy. He's been with the Lord now, oh man, I don't know how many years. But I remember this elderly pastor, and we were sitting there, and I guess it was a wedding reception or something, and we're sitting there, and everyone's having a good time, and everyone's enjoying it, it was just a wonderful time. And he made this comment, and I thought it was an amazing thing. He said, look at this, he said. All of this, nothing but joy everywhere because of the wedding. All this in heaven too. That's the idea, you see. We have a new hope. We are waiting for the adoption of sons. And just like you said this morning, when there's not going to be any tears. There's not going to be any crying. There's not going to be any grief. We have, in this new relationship, and this new hope, we've been adopted as sons. And so I'm looking forward to it. Because I'm a son of God, there's going to be an end to suffering. There's going to be an end to grief. There's going to be an end to pain. There's going to be an end to sorrow. And here's the most wonderful thing of all. It is going to be an end to sin. You know, right now we're adopted and God cares and we're in a new relationship and He watches over us and He leads us and He directs us and He does all of these things. But there is a day coming when the veil, that separation, there's always that little bit of sin there. That's going to be gone.
Amen.
What an amazing thing. and one that maybe maybe one that we're not real happy with, but here it is. We have a new work being done in our life, and that work is God's discipline. Turn with me to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, so far I've been talking about all this great stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you know, he cares for us, he watches over us, he hugs us, he watches us, and we get this new relationship, we get to look forward to heaven, we get all of these things. And then we come to this passage. And he says in Hebrews chapter 5, I'll read for a little bit here. It says, well, you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines, and look at this, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And so you understand, I would be afraid if the Lord did not discipline me, because that doesn't demonstrate his love. That doesn't demonstrate the fact of his son that this does. He says, it is with discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which you all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. God disciplines us. You understand, when we talk about discipline, it is not necessarily this idea of punishment. You know, punishment, we do something wrong, we get smacked down for it, and that kind of thing. Discipline envelops the whole thing. It's the idea of how one is approached so that they might mature. And that's the way God deals with us. It might be that God disciplines you with blessing. He might pour some blessing upon you, and you just can't, you're overwhelmed. And you say, thank you, Lord. And you're drawn closer to him through blessing. And that's still discipline, because we love the Lord more, and we're moving away from the way we want and the way we like, and we're moving more towards him. You know, and then we have the difficulties in life. We step back and we say, okay, Lord, you're working my life. You're accomplishing some purpose. You're working in my life so that I might share in your holiness. You know, when God disciplines us and we know it is in love, it is easier to bear. It is easier to bear. This new relationship is with the Father. This new hope, we've experienced the first fruit. This new working in our life, that God disciplines us one way or another. And I don't know how he disciplines you, but you'll know if you continue to look to him, you'll know it is discipline from him. And then we have one more implication here, and that is, we have a new family. Think about this for a moment. I've been adopted into God's family. But you know what's wonderful about it? Because you've been adopted into God's family. You've been adopted into God's family. You've been adopted into God's family. Many churches throughout Gloucester County have been adopted into God's family. Many churches in the state of New Jersey have been adopted into God's family. All of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ have been brought into this new family, God's family. All who believe, a family that is in Christ. I mean, think about this for a moment. We have the same Spirit of God working in our life. We have the same Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same Scriptures. We have the same worship. We have the same Savior. And all of this idea of being adopted into a wonderful family, not only with a relationship with God, but a relationship with each other, was demonstrated this morning. Every time we gather together like this, and we begin to sing hymns, and we greet one another, and we hear Scripture read, and we pray, you understand that God has done this. And we do this because he has adopted us, and he has given us the comfort of not only a new relationship with him, but a new relationship with each other. It's fun. It's good. I love it. What's better than sitting and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's worked in our life? What's better than sharing stories about our family and God's work and about our children and our grandchildren and all those kinds of things? You understand that all of these things have been made possible because we've been been adopted into God's family. This wonderful blessing. We are family. We are family before the Lord. I remember in John 17, the longest reported prayer of the Lord Jesus. As Jesus is praying, he prays in the beginning for himself, he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all those, in John chapter 17, he prays for all those who are going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by their word. But in that prayer, he says something like this, and you can look it up in John 17. He says something, Father, let them be one as we are one, so that the world might know you. That's a paraphrase, but that's what he's saying. We are a shining testimony. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we're going to be one. Think about the instructions. We talk about this idea of family. Think about the instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 5. As Paul's writing to Timothy, he said, Timothy, he says, look, when you're dealing with the younger men, you treat them as brothers. When you're dealing with the older men, you treat them as fathers. When you're dealing with older women, you teach them, you treat them as mothers. And when you're dealing with younger women, treat them as sisters. And the reason he says that is because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen to Galatians 6:10 as God continues to pile upon this bond that we have as believers and family. He says, so then, as we have, this is Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. This is Galatians 6:10. So then we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Now listen to the rest of the verse. And especially to those who are of the, and this is a great word, household. See the difference? A distinction. There are those who are not part of the household of faith. But we are part of the household of faith. And he says, do good to everyone, especially those, if we can paraphrase it this way, who have been adopted by God, who are in his family. Adopted. We talked about being blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This adoption, the implication is we have a new relationship. We have a new hope. We have new working in our lives, and we have a new family in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gotta say, I thank the Lord for all this. I thank the Lord that he has embraced me and hugged me and secured me and assured me of his care. He has assured me of his love. He has assured me of the relationship that I have with him as he has done with you, and that he has brought us together as a family. Not only here, but with all of us. Father, we are so thankful this morning for your word, oh Lord. How easy it is for us to read over words like chosen, words like adopted, and never stop to think about the glorious blessings that are there. We can only say, Father, as it will be, the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name.